So happy to be with you all. I'm so happy to introduce you to someone that I believe is amazing. And first of all, I'd like to say my name is Jan Desper Peters. I got so frustrated about the technical difficulty. I forgot to say that. My name is Jan Desper Peters, and I am the host of BTST's Meeting You Where You Are podcast. And you are welcome to my beautiful office and my Alpha Kappa Alpha backdrop, which my sister just asked me, how did you get those backdrops? I said, it's a secret. But I just wanted to share today with you this wonderful woman because she is so special to me. And if you're African-American, you probably understand this, in that sometimes people that we call family are not family. So we have family that is just family by blood, and then we have family that we chose. Linda and I are family that chose each other, and we chose each other 30 years ago. And it was when I bought my first house in Baltimore, just before I got married, and it was right next to her house. And she was living and being raised by not her grandmother, but her great-grandmother and her great-grandfather and her great aunt and uncle. And I met this little girl who was full of energy and full of personality, and she's still very much full of personality. And we instantly, you know how people say love at first sight? That's what we had. We had love at first sight. She was a senior in high school, and I'm 8 years older than her. So we decided that she would be baby sister and I would be big sister. So you cannot tell us that we are not sisters. We're sisters. And she's just done exceedingly and abundantly, probably above what she even thought she could do in her career and in her life. And I just wanted to share this story with you because she means so much to me. And I think that her sharing her story is going to help someone. And that's what I'm hoping that the Meeting You Where You Are podcast will do, that it will help someone. And so without further ado, I want to introduce the World Wide Web, to my sister, my baby sister, Linda Jones Coxon.
Well, good evening, everyone. And I mean, that was such an introduction. I wish I was taking notes. I need to write that introduction down.
You can pay me later. Cash at me.
I mean, that was a big self-esteem booster right there. Nothing else.
So, Linda, I just want to have you talk a little bit about what we said we were going to talk about, but also tell the folks that are listening what your professional occupation is.
I am an elementary school principal in Montgomery County Public Schools.
And how long have you been doing that?
This is my 6th year as principal. I'm principal at Stonegate Elementary, which is located in Silver Spring, Maryland.
But you also taught in Baltimore City Public Schools and in Howard County Public Schools for how long before you became an administrator?
Right. So my whole background is education, as James said. I did teach in Howard County. I started out teaching in Howard County for 7 years, and then I left Howard County to teach in Baltimore City. I only stayed in Baltimore City for 2 years, and I came back to Howard County for 3 years, and then I left Howard County to go to Montgomery County to become a reading specialist. From reading specialist, I became an assistant principal, and then I was in a principal internship program, and from the principal internship program, I was appointed principal.
And so, and she's also a Morgan Bear. For all the Morgan alum out there, she also is a proud alum of Morgan State University.
So, I am.
Right.
Yes.
And so let's just kind of dive right into it as it relates to the first call that I got was on the morning after you started feeling bad. And you called me and you said, I had a horrible night. I don't feel good. And so I said to you, I think you should, you know, call the doctor. And what did you do that day after you woke up that morning basically and not feeling good?
So Jane is absolutely correct. And prior to me probably telling her that I wasn't feeling well, I had been suffering with a dry cough that I thought was related to allergies. I had no idea that the dry cough was related to something else. So from the dry cough that night, Jane is correct, I wasn't feeling well. I actually had chills. I wasn't able to get warm. I was piling on blankets because I was cold and shivering all night and I couldn't sleep. So that morning I called her and I said, hey, I'm not feeling well. You know, what are your thoughts about this? So actually that next day, which was March 26th, I was heading out to work to go to my school because that was the day that Montgomery County school systems were passing out Chromebooks to families. So that was really a big day for me. And that was a big day that I needed to go to work and I had to be there.
So basically schools had already closed because of the pandemic.
Right. Schools had already closed because of the pandemic, and it was big. We had to hand out the Chromebooks, and I didn't want to miss this big day. So I ended up calling also after speaking to Jan, my assistant principal, and she was pretty adamant that this doesn't sound good. You should probably stay home. And I was very adamant that, no, I need to come to work today. I need to hand out these Chromebooks. So I decided to call my director, and she reminded me, when you are sick, we are not supposed to come to work. So I followed back up with Jane. I decided to call the doctor and share my symptoms. I said, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I'm experiencing. What are your thoughts? So right away, the doctor said, oh, I think that you probably have coronavirus. And I just said, well, you know, I don't want this to be a probably. I want to know if this is something that I have because I've been working, I've been around people, and I want to be able to share with them if I've been affected with coronavirus. So she was still kind of saying, well, I think that you have it. I just want you to self-quarantine yourself for 14 days. And so then I explained to her what I do, that I was a principal in an elementary school. I told her that one of my families, the dad, had tested positive for coronavirus. And then I reminded her that Montgomery County had the highest number of coronavirus cases. So I felt very compelled that I needed to be tested and not like, oh, maybe you have it. This is what I want you to do. Just self-quarantine yourself for 14 days. So explaining and really pushing and going back and forth with her, she decided that she would talk with another doctor in order for me to get permission for me to be tested for coronavirus. So she did that. She called me back a couple of hours and said that, yes, I had qualified to be tested for coronavirus. But it was really a battle because I wasn't sure if I had a fever. I didn't fall in those three areas that, boom, you can automatically probably get tested. You had to have a high fever. You had to have a shortness of breath, like you really couldn't breathe. And you had to be in that age range of over 60. And I didn't really fall in any of those age, any of those three categories at the time. However, I didn't know at the time that I did have a fever.
Okay. All right. So let's fast forward a little bit. So you basically strong-armed her into agreeing to have you be tested. And then they sent you to a site to be tested. So you went to that site, and I also forgot to mention that Linda is also a wife and a mother, and she has a five-year-old. So when you see her looking away, she's looking to see what that five-year-old, no, she's six. She turned six on April 1st, the six-year-old, and she would be upset with me if Auntie Jan didn't say the right age.
Yes.
Right. So Ava Rose is 6 years old. And so when Linda's looking off to the side, she's looking to see what Ava is doing. And Ava's peeping over her shoulder now. So Linda And Ava went to the place where they told you to go get tested. And
To an urgent care, and right away they tested. They wanted to check our fevers, so they wanted to see if I had a fever, and they also wanted to see if Ava had a fever as well. Ava did not have a fever. I had a fever of 100.8.
okay. All right. So tell us a little bit about the test, because when I talked to you about this, that was the part that was pretty grueling for you.
So they tested me for the flu, they tested me for strep, and they tested me for coronavirus. And all three of these tests required like a Q-tip swab, which meant that all three of these swabs had to go up your nose. And it was pretty intense. Specifically, the coronavirus swab was much longer. They had to go up a whole lot further than what you would normally do for the flu and what you would do for strep. And they have to get it up there and they have to swipe around and then pull it out. That was painful. I'll say that my nose was probably sore for a week from those three swab tests. Strep came back negative. The flu came back negative, and they told me that it would take 7 days to get my results from the coronavirus test. However, I did get those results within 6 days. The doctor calls you, and the doctor will share whether or not you tested positive. And he called and said, yes, you tested positive for coronavirus. And waiting those 5 days to see if I had it or if I didn't have it was pretty much, you're going through a lot of different emotions and thoughts, because sometimes I felt like, no, I don't have this. And then some days I'm like, well, maybe I do have this. I still have this dry cough. I didn't talk about what the symptoms were. So I started out by saying that I started with a dry cough. I went immediately that night to chills. And what I didn't know is that when I was having those chills, I also had a fever. So I had a fever that night of March 25th, and I had a fever on March 26th. So coughing, chills, fever, headache, body ache. And then during the 14 days of being quarantined, I definitely noticed shortness of breath. Walking up and downstairs wiped me. And those were pretty much my symptoms for coronavirus. And I only had a fever for 2 days, but the coughing has been the whole time. The body aches lasted for a long time. And the shortness of breath is still something that I am concerned about because I am easily winded.
So from the day that you first got sick, which I think you said, was that March 20th?
25th.
March 25th to now, which is almost April 25th, you still are feeling the effects of the coronavirus, even though it's been, because they basically have said the incubation period is between 2 and 14 days. So you're past the 14 days, but you still have some of the side effects of the coronavirus.
Right, so the 14 days I've passed that, and I had another doctor's appointment. But because I shared, and she saw that I was still coughing, I shared, she saw the dry cough. I talked to her about the shortness of breath. She still wanted me to stay in for an additional 2 weeks. So I've not been out since March 26th. So this Friday will be a total of 4 weeks, and the side effect. Well, the symptoms that still remain definitely is the shortness of breath, for sure. Coughing, not so much, but the shortness of breath, yes.
So on this in this podcast, Linda, I try to make sure that we do a lot of different topics, and I try to make sure that the topics lend themselves to expressing how almost anything that we go through in life has an emotional wellness or a mental health aspect to it. So I'd like you to talk a few minutes about, you said, it was grueling to have to wait for the diagnosis. And, the kind of vacillating back and forth about whether or not you had it. And then just, how you what you were feeling, and then what you did to strengthen yourself to to feel as though, you know, I'm going to get through this, because I know what kind of person you are. So I know how steeled your resolve is. And so I just want you to share that.
So I kind of connected with the book, and I know many of us have read The Scarlet Letter, and when Hester Prynne had to wear the A for adultery on her bosom, I was kind of feeling like I had to wear like C for coronavirus, because everyone is very fearful and afraid, which I absolutely understand. I wasn't sure who I wanted to tell, who should I tell. People had a lot of questions. I had people asking me about the symptoms. The main question was, people were wanting to know, well, where do you think you got this from? And I think that's the number one question that people probably want to know, but it is absolutely no way that I can, or I think anybody can, trace back to how they became infected with coronavirus, unless someone coughed and you walked right past them, and you can say to yourself, oh yeah, someone coughed and I walked right into their cough, or someone sneezed and they didn't cover their mouth, or something like that. And I didn't have any of those experiences. I could think about, you know, what I had done earlier that week. You know, I went to the grocery store. I remember I didn't even cart. We were carrying stuff in our arms. I can't remember going to the grocery store not having gloves. I don't know. I mean, I was definitely in contact with people because I was still working, but I just don't have any idea where I got it. And the other thing that kind of worried me is that, did somebody have it that I was around and I didn't know, and they didn't know? So, for example, that Saturday, I was in dance class with my daughter. Did one of those parents have coronavirus and they didn't know? Because the virus is spreading so quickly, you just don't know.
And very infectious.
Emotionally, I could not continue to think about, how did I get this? Where did I get this from? Or how did this happen to me? I just really stayed on a positive. And I was very thankful that I did not have to be hospitalized. I did not have to get on a ventilator. And I was still able to take care of my daughter, and I was still able to take care of myself. And it didn't totally just flatten me. I wasn't flattened for 14 days. I wasn't down and out. I think the onset was the worst, and it was a Thursday. So I had Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which was a weekend, which was helpful. And then Monday, I was back up. And I'm not saying some of the things that I did far as not resting completely is probably a great idea. So I'm not telling people that, oh, take the weekend and boom, you can bounce back. I'm not saying that, because coronavirus is affecting everyone differently. But I am saying that I was able to push through. I was able to shower every day, give a bath to my daughter every day, eat every day. I felt like once I got through the weekend, and then specifically once I got through Tuesday and I had the call that I had coronavirus, I was like, okay, I have this. I'm taking vitamins. I'm taking Tylenol for body aches. I had a couple remedies from a couple of my parents. You know, I'm an elementary school teacher, principal, a couple of my families that I have a close relationship with knew. They would bring me like different teas, different little remedies. I was taking these vitamins, these drops. So I don't know if some of the different non-traditional things that I was taking helped me. I was eating chicken noodle soup, drinking tea. One of my parents had this oil, this rub that he wanted me to rub on the bottom of my feet every night and my hands.
And I'm glad that you were open to those non-traditional ways of healing, because I listen to a lot of webinars and information sessions about the virus. And I listened to one last night from Johns Hopkins Medicine. And it was interesting to me that the person who was doing the webinar, who was an infection disease specialist, she actually said, after a couple questions where she kept saying, we really don't know, because it is still in a phase where they really don't know. They do know there is no, you know, they're trying to develop a vaccine, but there is no vaccine. There really is no proven medicine that they can give you to say, okay, take this and you're going to feel better. They, you know, a lot of those medicines are still in clinical trials. And so I appreciate you sharing that you did some other kind of alternative healing methods to address some of the symptoms that you had.
I did. One of my parents made, it was called an immunization, a booster. I don't know what all ingredients he had in this bottle, but I had to take 2 tablespoons a day. I took these 2 tablespoons of this medicine every day. I was trying to see if I had a picture of it, but I did take a picture of all the ingredients that he had in there. They drove from Silver Spring, put it out on my door. I took that every day. I don't know if some of these things that I did helped me not just flatline and helped me not go to the hospital, but I've had a flu. And I remember as a first year teacher, I had a flu one year that was, my fever was 103 and I was teaching and then I just couldn't teach. And this flu was so bad, I was out of work for a week. I couldn't even move. The coronavirus did not do me like that at all. I mean, every day I was able to move and I probably should have rested a little bit more than what I did, especially after the weekend, but I was taking my time. I was still working. I was really staying positive. I think that it was some of these non-traditional things that I was doing was
to helping. Help boost your immune system.
Yes, I think the prayers, people were very concerned. So many of my staff, gift cards so that we could order food. I didn't have to worry about cooking, which was very helpful because food and cooking is very stressful. So to know that I could just order food and food was delivered and we were eating was very helpful. I had family and friends deliver groceries. I have a line sister who wanted to know if I had bleach. I mean, boom, every day something was being delivered on the step, which really just showed the love, the support, the care, and how people were so concerned for me, which also is a self-esteem booster to know that you are loved and people don't want anything to happen to you. And then people were concerned about my now 6-year-old and how is she handling this. So for me, I couldn't let this coronavirus take me down because I had to take care of a little person, as Jan would say. Coronavirus did not do me like that at all. I mean, every day I was able to move and I probably should have rested a little bit more than what I did, especially after the weekend, but I was taking my time. I was still working. I was really staying positive. I think that it was some of these non-traditional things that I was doing was
to helping. Help boost your immune system.
Yes, I think the prayers, people were very concerned. So many of my staff gift cards so that we could order food. I didn't have to worry about cooking, which was very helpful because food and cooking is very stressful. So to know that I could just order food and food was delivered and we were eating was very helpful. I had family and friends deliver groceries. I have a line sister who wanted to know if I had bleach. I mean, boom, every day something was being delivered on the step, which really just showed the love, the support, the care, and how people were so concerned for me, which also is a self-esteem booster to know that you are loved and people don't want anything to happen to you. And then people were concerned about my now 6-year-old and how is she handling this? So for me, I couldn't let this coronavirus take me down because I had to take care of a little person, as Jan would say. And then I already saw how me being sick affected her. She said, what did she say? Coronavirus has, what did she say? Has, I think she said, has had an impact on her. She said, I am managing you having coronavirus. She said, this has upset me. I mean, and she was able to articulate that she could not maybe get into a lesson right now because she was trying to make sure that I was feeling okay and that I was surviving coronavirus. And I had to respect that. Like, okay, this isn't a good time for you right now.
So, I mean, I appreciate you saying that, and just to kind of circle back to some of the things and that you said in relationship to if you know someone is whether it's coronavirus or anything else, just to know that people are there to kind of bring you what you need when you need it, right? Because a lot of times people just say, well, let me know if you need something, and you don't really get what you need. And so it was great that people were bringing you groceries, offering you elixirs. I'm gonna call them elixirs, to boost your immune system. I think that that's great. I think that that's important to boost your immune system, especially in this season, and to also know that you're loved. I mean, I was telling Linda that I didn't call you as much during the time that you were sick because I know when you're sick, because I've, had surgeries and been sick. And it's like you want to talk to people, but you don't feel like talking to people, but you kind of sometimes feel obligated to talk because they're calling and they're concerned. But you have a group of friends and family that understand that. And so if you could share, a couple of things with people, because everybody doesn't have a primary care physician that they can call. And everybody doesn't have, that I'm going to say that push that you have when you did call your doctor and say, no, I want to be tested. So just kind of, I just want to have you in your own words say how important it is for us to take this seriously, to stay at home, to wash our hands. I'm calling it physical distancing as opposed to social distancing because I want to move out of a space where people feel like they're isolated. And so just give us, some words around that, Linda.
For me, the biggest learning that I've had so far from this is that we do have to check on people because Jan is right. When you're sick, typically you don't necessarily always want to talk, but just to check in on somebody, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And you're right. When someone says, "What do you need?" Most of us will say, "Oh, I'm fine. We don't need anything." And I absolutely found myself saying, "Oh, I'm fine," but then after a while, I was like, "No, not really. I can't even. I can't get. I do need stuff." Or people would just, I guess, have an idea of something that you might need. And then I started saying, "Well, yes, I really need some Lysol wipes, or I need this food item. I don't have this. I need this." And then, people will support you. But sometimes, as much as we don't like to say what we need, I think when you experience something like this, you absolutely have to say, "This is what I need." And I think just reaching out to people when you know that they're not well, because people aren't going to pick up the phone and say, "Jan, I need this." And then we're in such challenging times that people are afraid. They don't want to necessarily come out and bring you things, but deliveries right now are amazing. So, I mean, I pray every night for people on the front line in the grocery stores and shopping for people because they are putting themselves at risk every single day.
I appreciate that. And one of the reasons, Linda, that I wanted to have you on is because we see in the news so much the stories of you know, the running count of how many people were infected. Just before I got on, I think it was around, you know, 80,000 people, 800,000 people in the United States that have been tested positive. 40,000 plus have died. And to God be the glory, because you know I love you to death. And just wanted to have people see that, as Jada McCrae sent in her message through the live, it's not a death sentence for everyone. And you can't come up out of this. And though nobody wants to have it, if you do contract the virus, then, you know, there are people who get through the 14 days, the 20 days, and they are able to then get back to their normal lives. And so I just wanted to share that. And when I asked you to do this, one of the things that I, because I know you would do anything for me.
Anything.
We're not going to tell the people what we've done for each other. But I just wanted to say that when I said to Linda, will you do this for me? I also said to her, do you feel comfortable doing it? Because she did say in the beginning, I wasn't sure if I should tell people. I mean, to feel like you had the Scarlet C on your chest, that's pretty deep, you know, to feel that way. And even when I was sharing with our other sorors and friends, I was sharing because I'm like, okay, y'all, we got to pray for Linda, because we got to pray Linda up out of this. And so I just want to thank you for being my sister, for being my baby sister, and for sharing your story. And I pray that it's helpful for someone else.
I pray too, and thank you for having me. And I would just like to end by saying that people should not feel ashamed or embarrassed like I initially felt. So initially you feel embarrassed, like a plague, and you are questioning, how did you get this? But I also feel that I could help someone else. I could support someone else, and I can say, hey, I had it, and bam. It didn't flatline me. It didn't take me out. I wasn't hospitalized. I have all these positive things that I can share with people, and how I stayed positive. And now I am so worried about others. And I'm praying for people that maybe was not a part of my nightly prayer. Even Ava is praying for, like, homeless people. But she always prays for homeless people because we always see them when we go to church. So she always does that. But we aren't necessarily praying for people who are clerks, cashiers at grocery stores. We're not praying for people who are making deliveries. So now we have a new set and a new group of people who we're praying for, because those people are so important to all of us right now. I mean, I've not been out the house since March 26th. So I've needed these people to make deliveries for me. I need them to shop in the grocery store because I have not been able to do that. So I think for me, don't feel embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. I mean, I probably had that C on my chest for 7 days, and then I just had to remove it. Because I did tell people, I did start to share, and I want people to know that if you get coronavirus, it doesn't mean that you are going to die.
I appreciate that, Linda. Thank you so much. I love you very much. I love Ava, and I love Andre. That's Linda's husband, and he came by the house to check on me a couple of days ago. Of course, he talked to me through my glass door. And I asked him, how did he feel? And he never got tested, but he said he did lose his sense of taste and smell for a while. And so that's one of the symptoms, but that's another program. But so happy that the doctors didn't feel that, you know, it was something that Ava needed to be tested for, because she didn't have any symptoms at all. And she was with you the whole time. So I praise God for that as well. And before we end, I just want to say that there are so many people that need so many things. I've seen this Facebook post and on Instagram too, where people were saying, offering, if you need something, don't be ashamed or hesitant to tell someone you need something. People are saying, you know, if you need a meal, don't go to bed hungry. Don't let your children go to bed hungry. Let me know. I'll drop a meal off and we don't even have to ever talk about it again. If you need something, reach out and let somebody know you need something. This is a time where we're all in this together. This disease does not have a name on it. It doesn't have an age. It doesn't have it is not necessarily just for one type of people, even though Black people are disproportionately affected by it. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that it affects everyone. And if you need something, this is the time that you ask, because I've always said, working in the mental health space, that to ask for help is not a sign of weakness. It really is a sign of strength. And I hope that you will do that. And so imparting, because BTST Services sees a lot of different clients, probably tens of thousands of clients every year in Baltimore City, in Frederick, in Hagerstown, and in Prince George's County. Our therapists are still seeing clients by telehealth. And we have gotten some requests for some of needs that they have, whether it be for groceries or whether it be for baby supplies. And some of the students don't have technology. And so BTST has stepped up through its nonprofit, BTST Cares, to provide some of those needs to our clients in those four jurisdictions. And so if you have a little extra, I'm asking you to contribute to BTST Cares through Cash App. It's simple. $BTST Cares. You can give any amount. We have people in need. BTST Services and Chris Simon has stepped up with the initial contribution, but we need more contributions. And I'm asking you, in this time, everybody's not unemployed. Everybody's not doing bad. Everybody is not in a position where they are lacking. And so if you have something extra, please consider giving it to $BTST Cares at Cash App, so that we can assist some of the people who are less fortunate. And I would appreciate that so much. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget that Jada McCray, our wonderful executive director at BTST Services, will be doing her mental health moment on Thursday, tomorrow at 6 p.m., and she's actually going to transition to once a week. So she'll do it on Thursday tomorrow, but then after that, it only will be on Thursdays, not Tuesday and Thursday. And then our wonderful CEO, Chris Simon, is still doing his interviewing and his engagement with Mikkel on Monday mornings on WEAA 88.9. And then we're also working with and partnering with DJ Little Mike on Instagram Live on Sundays at 11 a.m. for the COVID Lounge. So until we meet again, God bless you, be safe, be healthy, and stay home. Have a good evening.
Have a good evening.